It's time for Breaking Chains with the P31 Ladies Night, where we will have open dialogue with our women on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
I would like to say good evening. Happy New Year. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be before you this evening. I tell you, I know it's been about a month since the P31 Ladies Night has been available to everyone, and I have truly, truly missed you all. Let us open up with prayer. This is Elder Katrina Kennedy greeting you tonight, Wednesday night, with our P31 Ladies Night on Breaking Chains. And again, it seems like it's been forever in a day since we've been on the podcast. But we're not going to prolong the time because I have a lot that I want to discuss on tonight. Let us open up with prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we beseech your faith, your face. We say thank you, God, for just allowing us the opportunity to be on the podcast tonight. For you said that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be in the midst. And I feel your presence already this evening. I say thank you, Lord God, for allowing me, a handmaid servant, to be selected and chosen for a time such as this. I thank you, oh God, for allowing the pastor of this great Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk Family Ministry, Reverend Roderick Williams, to see a vision in which you granted him, and then allowing him to connect with myself, your humble servant, to come before your people on tonight. Oh, God, we say thank you to your will and to your way. For this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and I am glad in it. I pray, oh, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable in thy sight, oh, Lord, you're my strength, and you are my redeemer. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and thank God. Again, I say welcome. Tonight, I would like to open up with scripture reading from the 108th stanza of Psalm, and it reads thusly. I said 108, but I was looking at the 100th Psalm, so please forgive me. It's with the 100th stanza of Psalm from the English Standard Version. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Tonight, if I could just speak to you for a few minutes, I would like to discuss something that has really just been pressed upon me. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Planting your spring garden. For the garden of your daily living. I would like to ask,
what are you planting in your garden? It's kind of funny because I'm in Mobile, Alabama. And I do believe that this week we have been blessed with the power of cold weather, ice on the ground, snow in some parts of Alabama, but it's been a record low for a winter season here in Mobile. We haven't had temperatures this cold in years. But interestingly, from a Monday night show, Healthy Monday, Bo Williams and Sheena Williams have encouraged myself and my husband to plant a winter garden. And as I guess, looked around and realized how cold the weather was, I've never had a winter garden, so it was interesting to me that when I looked outside the window even this morning and saw all of the ice on the ground, I couldn't help but think about my spring / winter garden. And in the garden, we have winter greens. I think they may be collards, I'm not for certain. But the thing about it is, the greens have started to take root and they have formed a vegetable in which at some point I'll go out and pick and I will wash and I will prepare them to eat. And it made me think about the spring garden. And there's something that I would like to read for the garden of your daily living. It says to plant 3 rows of peas. The first pea is the peace of mind, a peace of heart, and peace of soul. And it goes on to say, plant 4 rows of squash, squash gossip, squash indifference, squash grumbling, and squash selfishness. And then it says, plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us be kind. Let us be patient. Let us really love one another. It says, no garden is complete without turnips. Turnips for meeting. Turnip for service. Turn up to help one another. And to conclude our garden, we must have time. Time for each other. Time for family. Time for friends. And it goes on to say, water freely with patience and cultivate with love. There is much fruit in your garden because you reap what you sow. And then it says at the end of this, pass it on. So tonight, for all of my listeners and my viewers, I want to talk about planting your spring garden. It's amazing to me how since I've been in the ministry, things have just come into my path that I wasn't even expecting. And I've learned to take it day by day. I've learned to actually just embrace it. I grow every day. And to be able to put planting your spring garden in perspective with planting in ministry and growing daily, I found this social media web page, the Artful Farms Photo, to be very enlightening and true. But when it talks about having or planting rows of peas, it is so good to have a peace of mind and a peace of heart and a peace of soul. When I think about a peace of mind, I think about going into that garden and every day just looking out, putting my fingers in the soil, watering, nurturing those seeds that were planted. If you go in and you start to plant some of the things that you want to nurture and grow, it helps me to put it in perspective about having a peaceful mind, heart, and soul. The most interesting thing for me is realizing at one time I didn't know what a peaceful mind, heart, and soul was. There are so many things that we go through on a daily ritual. And there are times that you don't even realize that your heart, your mind, and your soul is so bombarded with stuff. I don't know, it can be just mounds of things. But have you ever been so bombarded and overwhelmed with things that you can't find peace in your mind, peace in your heart, peace in your soul? I don't have to go into specifics about some of the things that we are hurting about, but what I would like to talk about is how in the world can we just keep running and never understand that if we could just sit down and have a conversation and gain some sort of peace in our heart, rest our minds of some of the hurt and danger and harm that has come into our path. To be able to just actually say, you know, my mind is rested because after everything that I've been through, I can actually find some peace and comfort in knowing that no matter what it is I'm running behind, until I actually get some peace in my heart and in my mind and in my soul, I will never be content. For the Apostle Paul says that whatever state I'm in, I pray or I find myself to be content. That no matter what hurt or harm has come to us, wow, I think about being an advocate on sexual assault and domestic violence. And I see hurt on a daily basis. But as long as we keep harping on the hurt, that means that we are not finding peace in our mind, in our soul, and in our heart. I haven't gotten to the forgiveness part. I'm talking about, you know, before you can even get to that point of forgiveness, you've got to have peace. And how can you find peace when your mind is just running back and forth, never finding any contentment in anything? The more you have, the more you want. Just constantly searching. So to be able to have peace, a peace that can surpass all understanding, a peace to say, you know what, I can deal with what's going on in my mind right now. I can deal with what's going on in my heart right now. I can deal with what's going on in my soul right now. Because I have found that inner peace. I have found a sense of contentment and understanding, and I'm embracing something higher than me. I'm embracing more than what before me. I have peace knowing that I can't control what has gone on in my life. But I finally have peace because I've embraced it, and I don't allow it to control me. I don't allow it to dictate my happiness. I don't allow it to just consume me. I can smile at the hurt because I realize that that hurt that has been inflicted upon me does not consume me. You will find that after you get to the point where you're able to get past some of the hurt, that you can then move on. But it's not until we get past that hurt that we can be at peace. So what kind of hurt are we talking about? What kind of hurt are we trying to get past? What type of hurt has our mind and our souls and our hearts at the point where it's just controlled by someone else? It's time to take control. Golly, I love it. It's time to take control over what has driven us to a point where we don't have that peace that we say we want. Sexual assault is about power and control. Hurt is about power and control. Violence is about power and control. You can't expect the person or persons who have taken that power and control to give it back to you. It's something that you have to be willing to fight for. And tonight I've made a commitment to work through these P's to gain that peace of mind and peace of heart and peace of soul. To say no more to the people, the persons, the things that have control over me. To let you all know that I'm an individual who also has had problems with gaining peace of my mind and peace of my heart and peace of my soul. To say I'm taking back control over what God has given me. It's a terrible thing to realize that one incident, one instance, one thing can just continue to manifest and resonate and infiltrate and control me, you. So let's go on down because I plan to go into this more in depth next week. But let's talk about squashing. Plant four rows of squash, to squash gossip, to squash indifference, to squash grumbling, and to squash selfishness. I'm not talking about what others are doing to us, but what are we doing to others? Sometimes we get so complacent and so enthralled in what it is that other people are doing that we fail to realize that we're doing it ourselves. Gossip. Man, that's a powerful thing. The little tongue, the little pink thing in our mouth, to the point where we just actually allow it to control at the expense of others. Wow. To allow our brothers and our sisters to come together on the social media or on the telephone and just talk about things And when we talk about gossiping, we're talking about things that's not true. We're talking about things that are true. We're talking about things that we have no business doing at the expense of hurting others. To be able to actually come together and say, you know what? I agree that what we have been talking about or what it is that we are not agreeing upon is an indifference, but can we just agree to disagree? Or can we disagree and learn to agree? Can we accept being different? Or do we have to keep going on to the point where we start to hurt one another so much that we don't even realize that we're doing it to ourselves? But the Lord says in his word that those who are doing it to the least of them are doing it unto me. So you talking about me or me talking about you or me talking about, you know, constantly keeping up mess about the indifference, we're doing it unto God. We're not just doing it to our brothers and our sisters, but when you think about it, you're doing it unto God, and that's not pleasing in his sight. And then squash grumbling. My goodness. Talked about this the other night in Bible study. You mumble and you grumble and you complain about everything to the point where people who are looking at you that don't know Christ are saying, what in the world? You got a job, but you're mumbling and grumbling and complaining about the job because it's not enough. You got $2, but you're mumbling and grumbling because you don't have $5. It's time to let go of so much complaining and to learn to live in peace and harmony and to be able to be understanding and realize that whatever it is, mumbling and grumbling is not going to solve it. You got to learn how to embrace what it is and be appreciative of what you do have. But don't you know that if you can be appreciative, if I can be appreciative that I do have a house, a room in that house, clean up what I do have, that I'll be granted with much more. And I'm not talking about a bigger house or a bigger room or more furniture. I'm talking about learning how to be peaceful with what I do have. That if I can learn to be content with what I do have, God will grant me with so much more. And so what if I don't make $20 an hour because somebody else has it? That I can learn to be peaceful with what I do have, I'll eventually be able to get more, gain more. And then you have being selfish. Wow. Every day I get up and I realize how much I have been granted love and understanding. And I have so much to be grateful for. I have so many materialistic things. But what would it benefit me to hold on to those things if I'm not using them? I didn't say holding on to things that I don't want. I'm talking about letting go of some of those things that I do want. And when I say that, I'm talking not just clothing and furniture and jewelry and things. I'm talking about the gift of love. You have a smile on your face and you want to hold it down because you can't, you don't want somebody else to feel free to be able to smile. We got to let go of those things that control us and be willing to release the things that God has given us. A gift of song, a gift of giving, a gift of peace, a gift of love, a gift of being able to talk to someone, a gift of being able to hand someone something, a gift of just whatever it is, let go of being selfish, holding on to a kind word.
you can't take it with you. So being selfish is not good. We need to learn to be selfless, to give more of ourselves, to not just hold on to what it is that we have, but to be a servant, to be willing to give, and to be willing to express my time. For instance, me being on this podcast, I am selfless because, no, maybe I can't do it like some of the other renowned speakers or do it like some of the more renowned singers or radio announcers or television evangelists. But I'm willing to give what I have. I'm willing to give of my time, my talent, and my treasures. I also realize that what God has given me is for me. But for me to hold on to it is being selfish. But if I release it, I'm being selfless. I'm not thinking about myself. Less of me and more of you. I like that. Because really, in all honesty, when you think about it, holding on to what I have, it ain't even mine. God gave it to me. So why would I sit here knowing that I do have the ability to speak? And if I allow God to perfect it, and allow God to use me to build his kingdom, less of me and more of him. You know, it's interestingly that when I think about self of me and more of him, that what I'm doing is burning some calories, releasing some fat grams, releasing some cholesterol problems, because I'm holding nothing back. I'm giving all of me. And then it says to plant four rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If people are going to depend on you, be there. Do that. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Be faithful in what it is that you're doing. Be consistent in what you say you're going to do. Be on time. Your integrity, my. Speaks volume. So what does people say about you? Oh, here comes Katrina. She says she's going to be here at 8, but she gets here at 8:30. She'll be here about 8:30. Or she won't come at all. Katrina said that she was going to give $5, but she only gave $1. Katrina said that she was going to be on this podcast every week. I may be able to depend on her. I may not. No, you need to be faithful in whatever it is you're doing. Be consistent. Be religious. Ain't nothing wrong with being religious. That means that you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. Because people are counting on you. But then, if you can't be faithful to yourself, how can you be faithful to others? If you're notorious for not doing what you say you're going to do, then what kind of seed are you planting? And then it says, let us be kind. K-I-N-D. Let us be the kind of person that people want to see. Let us be the kind of person that people hope to see. Let us be the kind of person that people are expecting to see. Let us be the kind of person that we can be to others. In other words, be that kind person. Whatever it is that you have outside, let that be what's inside. If you want to express love, but yet you don't talk it, or if you want to talk love, but yet you don't express it, then you need to check yourself. What does your legacy say about you? What can people say about you? Not when you're gone, but right now, today. What do they say about you? Be patient. Patience is love. And of all of those things, charity, love, are the greatest of patience, kindness. You've got to have love. You've got to be patient. I remember people used to tell me, you know, you keep asking for patience, but with patience comes trial and tribulations. I'm like, what does that mean? But it's true. If you can't show any type of love, then how in the world can you expect to be patient? Patient and love go hand in hand. Love one another. You can easily say you love me, but your actions may be different. But it's not about how much you love me. It's about how much I can love you in spite of when you don't show me the love that you have for me, that you say you have. Love endures selfishness, impatience, unkind, unjust, unworthy. Love covers a multitude of things. And we know in the Word of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What kind of love are you exhibiting? When people hear you, see you, think about you, do they see the love that you claim you have? Love me in spite of my imperfections. Love me enough to come and talk to me about it. Love me enough to say I hurt your feelings. And let's talk about that indifference. Love me enough to be patient with me when I am slow or when I do things that's not quite right. Love me enough to say that maybe Katrina's just having an off day, but I'm going to go to her anyway because I know that the person that she is, she won't hold it against me. Love me. Love yourself. If you don't know how to love, let's talk about it. I kind of forget that I'm talking to hundreds and thousands of people. People will listen to this podcast. And I pray that when they listen to this podcast, they don't take it to the point to heart to get mad and say, I'm not going to listen to it again, but that they want to learn to do better, to love unconditionally. To love those who have hurt you and despitefully used you. To realize, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That before we do it to others, we realize that we're doing it to ourselves and that we want to do it the right way, just the way Jesus would do it. This country, this world, this universe was founded on love. Founded on love. And yet, we fight amongst each other. I'm not talking about a war. I'm talking about fighting against each other. We fight against ourselves. We don't have a peaceful mind or a heart or a soul. And you start to fight with yourself. And then the anger builds up so much that you fight others. But if you can learn to forgive yourself, that's when we begin to build, or that's when we can begin a healing process. You know, we have to be willing to say, you know what, I messed up. But I know that without a doubt, it can be corrected. And you think you're hiding from each other, but God sees it. So now it's time to own up to it and try to correct it and then go on, move forward. Can we get turned up? Turn up for meetings? And can you just get turned up? You go into a meeting
and you go with animosity, don't want the meeting to take place, and feel like if you don't go, maybe it's going to be sabotaged. That's wrong. Go to the meetings with expectations, but not expectations from the others, expectations from yourself. I like that. To have an expectation to go in there and achieve what it is that you're going in there to achieve, not with an agenda, a hidden agenda. Turn up for service. Look, when you go into the military, the branch of military, you go on the radio or the television, it says to be all you can be in the Army. Carry that with you. Be all you can be on your job. Be all you can be when you go into the grocery store. Be all you can be when you're driving along the highway. Be all you can be when you're sitting there with family and friends. Be all you can be when you are in service. Be a servant. Be wholehearted. Be the best that you can be. Don't go in with a hidden agenda thinking that if you go in there and not do what you're supposed to do, that it's going to be okay. For those of us who don't have a Christian walk, if you have any type of doubt or any type of reservation, time to go ahead and get aligned, because this is the P31 Ladies Night, which means that I'm not unchristian, full-blown Christian, in service, a true, devout woman of God, a servant. And when it comes to my service, not about a paycheck, not about getting an attagirl, not about a promotion, but just being true to myself and true to the service in which I provide for others. I go 199, always striving to do 200%. It's interesting how some feel like if they just give a portion of it, that we should be grateful. No, that's not the way it works. Give 100%. When you get your paycheck at the end of the pay week, I bet you don't want a portion of it. So give 100% of your service and then expect 100% return. Be willing to help somebody else and stop holding on to just helping yourself. Be able to give unconditionally. Be able to give without receiving it back in with an expectation. Give without expecting a reward or an award or prompt and praise. Be willing to realize that some people aren't going to give you any type of reward or award for what you do. But then again, who are you doing it for? In this type of business, in this type of service, in this type of life, there are going to be times that you're not going to get a hello, an attagirl, a what up, or nothing. But then you got to realize who you're doing it for. I don't do this because I expect Reverend Williams to come to me and tell me, oh, good job. If he tells me good job, cool. If he doesn't, look, I'm doing it for the glory of God. When I speak to all of God's children, I speak
because I expect nothing but 100% from God. But I don't come in mumbling and grumbling and complaining about doing it. I look forward to podcasts. It gives me the opportunity to think about things that either I've done or I need to do or I should have done, and if I do it wrong, try to do it better. To be able to teach, to be able to encourage, to be able to inspire, to be able to motivate. I'm about my service, my Father's business, every day. When I get off of the podcast, my service doesn't stop. I still have other things that I need to do. Your service does not stop. Loving one another does not stop. Helping one another does not stop. But I tell you one thing, if you can't do it, just be honest. I would, but I can't. Be honest with yourself if you can't do it. Be honest. But help one another in whatever way you can. It says, to conclude our garden, we must have time. T-H-Y-M-E. But remember, we're talking about our garden. But I'm talking about time right now. T-I-M-E. Interestingly, my oldest son moved out into his own apartment on last week. And he said something to me today or the other day we were talking, and he said that he needed cloth because he doesn't have any cloth. And I thought about time. Time does not stop for anyone. Time waits for no one. When I get time, I'm going to get myself together. When I get this together, then I'll have time. That doesn't work. The time is right now. It's time to get it right. It's time to do better. It's time to help each other. It's time to put down gossiping and indifference and grumbling and being selfish. It's time. The time is now. For one day, it's like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day in the Lord's eyesight. The time is right now. It's time to stop. It's time to start doing for others. It's time to stop making excuses. It's time to be more informative. It's time to stop saying, I don't know, and to figure it out. It's time to be able to rely on others. It's time to get yourself together. It's time to stop having pity parties and waddling in our complexities. It's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. The time is now. Time for each other. Time for family. And time for friends. The time is now. If we don't start watering freely on all of these things in our garden, how do we expect to reap any harvest? In the garden, you've got to go out. You've got to plant things, and then you've got to nourish it, and you've got to nurture it, and you've got to give it fertilizer, and you've got to give it time to grow. And then once it grows and it blossoms into this beautiful plant, and you bring it in and you clean it and you cook it and you prepare it and you sit down to eat it, that's when you realize all of the energy that you have put into your garden, taking the time to go to the meetings, taking the time to be sincere, to love, to cultivate, to oh my goodness. And it's not a job that you can just do today and put it down and expect it to give you what you plant. You got to keep at it. I'm going from garden to self, from self to garden. I'm able to put the analogy together for a garden, letting it or having it to imply, or not even imply, but understanding that the garden is us. It says to water freely with patience and cultivate with love. There is much fruit in your garden because you reap what you sow. There's so much that's inside of you. But it's going to take time to cultivate it. Don't you know that when the garden started, you don't understand that those seeds or those little tiny plants that you put down are going to take time to grow, to formulate something that you will be able to eat and receive nourishment on later. So you have to be willing to say, I understand that there is a process. There's a process in everything, but it takes time. There's no need in being judgmental and grudging against your fellow man, sister, or brother because they are doing better than you are. And then there's no need for you to walk around with your chest all stuck out because you are doing better than I am. There's no need in me being upset because you are doing better than I am, or to think that because I'm doing better that I can't come down. Everything that we do is a process. We have to grow. It takes time. We have to cultivate with love, with peace. And once we get everything cultivated and we realize refined in the refiner, we've been put in the fire and all of that dirt and tarnishness on a penny or a coin has been sloughed off by the fire. And when we come out shiny and new, just like a baby that has been born. After a baby has been processed for 9 months, amazing how a baby has to go through the process of growing. 9 months a mother carries, a woman carries that seed, that embryo that starts to form into a life. And when it comes to term, the baby comes out dirty, filthy, and water and love and care from the nursing staff, the medical team, washes and cleanses that baby. And then the baby grows into an adult. But everything that's been put in to that baby when the baby was forming is a process. And then when the baby is born, it's a process. The baby grows, and things are put into that baby until they become
of age, and then they become an adult. Everything is a process. So I've given you the analogy of the garden. I've given you the analogy of what goes in the garden. I've given you the analogy of a baby coming to term, growing into an adult. I've given you the analogy of itself being a process, a spiritual life. There's a process. A coin that is nasty and dirty, if you put it into the fire and you bring it out and you clean it up real good, that dirty coin, that dirty, filthy, nasty coin that has been put in from hand to hand and passed off for tender and to purchase things, and that if you put that coin in fire and you clean it off, it becomes anew. If we as children of God go through a filthy process and we are cleaned up and we are cultivated and God works on us and then we are a new creature. And then if you put things into that garden and it grows and it processes to something that has been cultivated and nourished into a full vegetable, a meal, you cook it, you get all of the vitamins and the nutrients that it needs to give you life, to sustain you, to fill you up, to promote you to the next stage of your life, the next thing that you have to do. All of these things are a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. So my sisters and my brothers, I encourage you tonight that when you start to plant your spring garden, that you do it in love and harmony and peace. I have a young lady friend that I mentor and I minister to on a daily, and she's now with child. And she's going through these sick spells and things, but I tell her all the time that everything that you feel, this baby feels. There's a life growing inside of you, and it's a process. She didn't become pregnant overnight. It was a process. So the same thing that she's going through is going to be a process in order to produce what God has ordained. We are all children of God. We are all walking in His image. We are all made in His image. And then we have to understand that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we can be forgiven. But we have to repent. We have to be willing to say, I messed up. Woe is me. And realize that God is the only one that can clean us up. To make us new again, to revive us. He's the only one. It's Wednesday night. January 2018. And once again, Lord, you have smiled upon us and allowed us to see yet another blessed day. I say thank you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that no weapon formed against us on today shall prosper, nor shall our children begging for bread. Father, we lift up those who need financial help and miraculous blessings and freedom from worry and abusive relationships. We pray that you would just comfort those who have lost loved ones and those with broken hearts and spirits. Lord, we just say thank you. We magnify your holy and your righteous name. And we praise you for all you have done and continue to do for us. May we remain covered under the precious blood of Jesus. Today and forevermore. We say thank you, O God, for allowing P31 Ladies Night to come to fruition. And we pray, O God, that the words that have come out of Katrina's mouth, O God, your servant, that they are able to bless somebody, encourage somebody, motivate somebody, inspire somebody, because we are all your children. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you for your will and thank you for your way. Pray it all in your name and for your sake. And I pray, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You're my strength, and you are my redeemer. These blessings we ask in your name, in Jesus' name. No other name I know but the mighty, miraculous, majestic name of Jesus. For you are so worthy, O God. You are so worthy, O God. You are so worthy, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus was the best thing I've ever looked
Been listening to Breaking Chains with the Full Gospel Hour of Prayer.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? It's true.
with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chain, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.